जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जनावल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जनावल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन हे यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज जगाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदस्य श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी जगद्गुरु श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णववृंद की जय नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ग्लोरियस टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंगा
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 7 टेक्स्ट 23
त्वमाद्यः पुरुषः साक्षात् ईश्वरः प्रकृते परः मायां युदस्य चित्शक्त्या कैवल्ये स्थितः आत्मनि त्वमाद्य पुरुष साक्षात् ईश्वर प्रकृते परः मायां युदस्य चित्शक्त्या कैवल्ये स्थित आत्मनि त्वमाद्य पुरुष साक्षात् ईश्वर प्रकृते परः मायां युदस्य चित्शक्त्या कैवल्ये स्थित आत्मनि त्वमाद्यः पुरुष साक्षात् ईश्वरः प्रकृते परः मायां युदस्य चित्शक्त्या कैवल्ये स्थित आत्मनि त्वमाद्या पुरुष साक्षात् ईश्वर प्रकृते परः मायां विदस्य चित्शक्त्या कैवल्ये स्थितात्मनि त्वमाद्यः पुरुष साक्षात् ईश्वर प्रकृते परः मायां विदस्य चित्शक्त्या कैवल्ये स्थितात्मनि त्वमाद्यः पुरुष साक्षात् ईश्वरः प्रकृते परः मायां विदस्य चित्शक्त्या कैवल्ये स्थितात्मनि
लेडीज
त्वमाद्य पुरुष साक्षात् ईश्वर प्रकृते परः मायां विदस्य चित्तक्त्या कैवल्यासितात्मनि समाद्य पुरुष साक्षात् ईश्वर प्रकृते परः मायां विदस्य चित्तक्त्या कैवल्यासितात्मनि
त्वमाद्यः यू आर द ओरिजिनल पुरुषः द एंजॉयिंग पर्सनालिटी साक्षात् डायरेक्टली ईश्वरः द कंट्रोलर प्रकृतेः ऑफ मटेरियल एनर्जी परः ट्रांसेंडेंटल मायाम द मटेरियल एनर्जी विदस्य वन हु हैज थ्रोन असाइड चित शक्त्या बाय डिंट ऑफ इंटरनल पोटेंसी कैवल्ये इन प्योर इटर्नल नॉलेज एंड ब्लिस स्थितः प्लेस्ड आत्मनि ऑन सेल्फ ट्रांसलेशन प्रोवाइडेड बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद यू आर द ओरिजिनल पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड हु एक्सपैंड्स हिमसेल्फ ऑल ओवर द क्रिएशंस and is transcendental to material energy. You have cast away the effects of the material energy by dint of your spiritual potency. You are always situated in eternal bliss and transcendental knowledge. The Lord states in the Bhagavad Gita that one who surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord can get released from the clutches of nations. Besides, like the sun and Maya, or material existence is just like darkness. Wherever there is the light of the sun, darkness or ignorance at once vanishes. The best means to get out of the world of ignorance is suggested here. The Lord is addressed herein as the original personality of Godhead. From him, all other personalities of Godhead expand. The all-pervasive Lord Vishnu is Lord Krishna's plenary portion or expansion. The Lord himself expands in innumerable forms of Godhead, and living beings along with his different energies. But Sri Krishna is the original primeval Lord from whom everything emanates. The all-pervasive feature of the Lord experienced within the manifest world is also a partial representation of the Lord. Paramatma, therefore, is included within him. He is the absolute personality of Godhead. He has nothing to do with the actions and reactions of the material manifestation because he is far above the material creation. Darkness is a perverse representation of the sun, and therefore the existence of darkness depends on the existence of the sun, but in the sun proper, there is no trace of darkness. As the sun is full of light only, similarly, the absolute truth of Godhead, personality of Godhead, beyond material existence, is full of bliss. He is not only full of bliss, but also full of transcendental variegatedness. Transcendence is not at all static, but full of dynamic variegatedness. He is distinct from the material energy, which is complicated by the three modes of material nature. He is Parama, or the chief. Therefore, he is absolute. He has manifold energies, and through his diverse energies, he creates manifold energies, and through these diverse energies, he creates, manifests, maintains, and destroys the material world. In his own abode, however, everything is eternal and absolute. The world is not conducted by the energies or powerful agents by themselves, but by the potent, all-powerful with all energies. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana ragunathanvitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadhutam parijana shahitam krishna chaitanya devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram Hare Krishna. First of all, wishing everyone a wonderful and happy Diwali and a great year of prosperity, happiness and devotion to the Lord for the forthcoming year. Hare Krishna. We are reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. The chapter is entitled The Son of Drona Punished. From this chapter onwards, actually the Srimad Bhagavatam really starts. The narration starts. Tells us, till before this, it is setting the background, but actual narrations of the episodes relating to the Lord and His devotees starts from this chapter, Canto 1.7. And it starts from the episode after Mahabharata has ended. The war is already finished. So it starts more like a in a tragic way. Because the sons of Draupadi have been mercilessly killed by the cruel and demoniac, very low class Aswatthama, son of Dronacharya, very heinous person. Mercilessly, without any proper fight befitting a Kshatriya, he just killed the five sons of Draupadi when they were all tired after the war, on the first night of the war. And here, Arjuna has now is expressing his deep anguish and anger, and he is chasing Aswatthama, because it is befitting that he gets a due punishment for this very, very unjust and low-class behavior of cowardly killing Kshatriyas. And seeing the fearsome appearance of Arjuna racing on his chariot with Krishna, Aswatthama knew that he had no chance, no choice. And in a state of confusion, more like an unprepared situation, he just took water, sanctified it, released it with mantras, and invoked the Brahmastra, which is now blazingly coming with great force towards Arjuna. The more astounding thing is that something like so deadly, it is not just some racing car coming towards you or a train coming towards you, which itself can be extremely scary. But when you have the most powerful weapon in the creation aimed only at you, right, then it can be extremely, what can you say, fear is not even an adequate word for that, right? So, what is the response of Arjuna is very, very surprising. Generally, you see something, you want to do, you have to run away, or you know, you get ready to fight, or you do something to do, you know. But we call it, you know, sometimes a conditioned response, right? So in the medical language, they call it fight or flight response, right? Either you fight or you flight. You just added to it. That depends on which system of your body is, you know, tuned in. But here it is neither a fight response, not even a flight response. It is a devotional response. And that's fascinating, is it not? That means this person is not conditioned by the material world. He has risen above. Arjuna is transcendental to conditioned behavior. He naturally has awakened his love for Krishna, and therefore that naturally he gravitates towards the Lord only. Just like water will gravitate towards the lower level. Water will never go up. Only fire goes up. But when water is released, it will find out the level and then will just come to that level. Right? So, similarly, a devotee's heart naturally flows only in one direction. Like Kunti Maharani prays, Svai Mananya Vishaya. Just like the Ganges is flowing towards the ocean, Arjuna's heart always flows towards Krishna. And therefore, even in this dire crisis, he's offering prayers. He's offering prayers. And that is just beautiful. That is something which is worthy of learning, that when we are situated, which are faced with the situation of trial and tribulation, rather than getting confused or rather than getting responding in the wrong way, take time, breathe slowly and offer prayer, right? Because that stabilizes the consciousness and really invokes apart from our own limited intelligence to solve the problem, it is sort of, you know, accessing the Lord's grace to add on to whatever little we may have to do about that particular episode or situation or tribulation or trial or suffering, whatever. But we sort of add on the Lord's grace into that, and then of course we know that Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, Krishna will really respond, right? And he will be able to do the right thing. So here there are not one but several beautiful prayers offered to the Lord here. And this is very similar to what we find in the Gita, right? He's Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Param Pavitam, Param Bhavan. Very similar to that shloka. He's glorifying Krishna in the most wonderful way. That you are Adya Purushaha. Right? Adya Purushaha. So Adya Purushaha is something which we sing every day. Govindam Adi Purusham. Every day. Every devotee, every day, all over the entire world sings this one line. How wonderful is that, right? Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Pajami, right? And this is the line which you want to always remember in our life, right? Adya Purusha. That you are the Purusha. That means automatically the devotee is relinquishing his Purusha behavior, right? The Lord said the word Purusha means, of course, the enjoying personality, right? Then what are we then? What are we? Then we are the serving personality. Right? Very simple. If you can understand this, if it's an enjoying personality, then we are the one who is providing that enjoyment to the Lord. And then when we provide that enjoyment and he enjoys, then we also enjoy, he also enjoys, both keep enjoying eternally. Right? So, that's how he is glorifying the Lord. And Prabhupada has given such a beautiful purport yet, establishing the Bhagavatam here is to establish some eternal truths. Satrupadas Goswami Maharaj in the Prabhupada Lilamrita makes a very beautiful point. It's one of the most beautiful classics within our ISKCON book obligation library, Prabhupada Lilamrita. It is one of the most beautiful classics ever written, I would say. He said that historically India has gone through a lot of attacks whereby temples, deities, people have been, you know, we have gone through a lot of foreign rule, colonization, subjugation, suffering. But he says that the codes of truth are actually encoded in the secrets of the Sanskrit language. They cannot be destroyed. Right? You can destroy a temple and do other things which may look like you're destroying the religion, the dharma. But the codes, the secrets are in the Sanskrit language which cannot be broken. Right? So what our acharyas have done is so beautiful. He said, knowing that these structures may perish with time or with something else, they allowed knowledge to be profusely sent out. Because ultimately a temple was a place where you gathered to learn. Tomorrow temple may be there, may not be there, but at least the learning process can continue by having the books, the knowledge reaching every house of the world. Decentralizing knowledge from libraries and temples and universities, decentralize it to every home. Right? They can never get destroyed. It's all over the place. Today being day of Diwali, it's a very beautiful meditation. And Diwali is such a special occasion. For us, as Vaishnavas, it's taking our hearts back in reminiscence of the sweet time when Lord Ramachandra successfully killed on Vyadashami Raman, for which he was one of the reasons why he came to this world. And that was on Dashami, and today we are on Amavasya. About 15 days, 20 days have passed, right? And today is that day when Ram is being welcomed. This day actually is that such a special day. Why do we offer all these lamps, kandil and ghee lamps everywhere? It is to remember and follow in the footsteps of the Ayodhya Vasis. What must be the level of decoration in Ayodhya today? Today's actual day. If you can just trace back our memories, the whole Ayodhya, you know, Ram was the pran of Ayodhya. Sita is the pran of Ayodhya, right? And their lord, their life had gone away. And they were living lifeless for 14 years. Like a moving corpse, just doing things mechanically without even understanding what they're doing. In a state of such sadness and loss and pain, right? Without any charm. There was no glow. That in Ayodhya, everything was had gone to a level of being very melancholy and gloomy. And there was no life on the streets. No one was singing songs. Nobody was really happy-faced. The birds are not chirping. Nothing was there. It was just like people living there, like a ghost town. So when the news came, when Hanuman came back, and Ram, immediately after the war was over, the first thing Ram did is to send Hanuman. He said, please go and tell Bharat I'm coming soon. Because he was most concerned about Bharat's welfare. That he had given, after all that thing took place at Chitrakoot, all that loving arguments and convincing and deconvincing of each other, that you take the throne, I take the throne, you take the throne. Up. You know, it went on. There's such a powerful conversation there at Chitrakoot, right, where ultimately, actually, Bharat won the argument. Actually, Bharat won. You know, Ram actually went to the one, but actually, Bharat's love won, right? Bharat was the victorious person in this Prema Kalaha. And therefore, Ram was extremely sensitive to the fact that if there is a little bit of delay from my side, Bharat is true to his word, he will just end his life by entering fire. Right? So I cannot but waste in a single moment. So even though Vibhishan is telling Ram, you have just fought a huge war for so many days, everyone is exhausted, and that, you know, I'm the king of this place now, I just wanted to stay here in Lanka for a few days and then go back. And please be, you know, our honored guest and accept our hospitality. Ram was not going to get subdued. Vibhishan's pure love is there, it is no question, right? But the love of Bharat is overwhelmingly flowing in Ram's heart. So it said he stayed for one night there. Because the war was ahead in the afternoon, so evening is all the Agni Pariksha and everything else took place. So night he stayed there, and the next day, of course, he said, I have to go back. Can you arrange for me to go back? He said, yes, I'll make the arrangements. And so he invoked the Pushpak Viman. Right? Just like a swan shaped. And imagine the scene. All the Vanaras are there in Pushpak. No matter how many Vanaras were there. If you read the Ramayana, the figure will amaze us because it is beyond material calculation. And you will wonder, what is this? Sometimes I calculated that it was 10 raised to the power of 63. I was completely amazed. How many Vanaras they seem to have come from all over the place, from Kinnara Loka and wherever else, right? So there was unlimited, literally Asankhya is the only word you can use. Asankhya is some calculation. Asankhya is a denomination which goes beyond particular number. I forgot that now. There is Asankhya. And all of them, our jet plane can carry at the most 840, you know. So how tiny, we are proud of our technology. Well, technology is definitely something we can, you know, we feel great about. But when you compare with the technology of the older times, we fall flat and ashamed that, you know, this Viman could carry so many monkeys. And not only the monkeys came, their children came, their wives came, because, you know, everyone should come to Ayodhya, because the wives also had given permission to their husbands to go and fight a war where they could be probably killed, right? So everyone came on this Pushpak Viman. And Ram, even though he's head bound towards Ayodhya, his heart is still flowing with gratitude for all the other things he has to do on the way also. So he gets down to Pampa Sarovar, he gets down at Rameshwaram and worships Mahadevji in gratitude, right? He cuts the bridge, The bridge is not to be supposed to be there because otherwise people can come, it becomes like a back and forth. People can go back and forth. So it was only for a purpose, right? It is not supposed to be there for eternality. So he had to cut the bridge. Dhanush, with his bow, he cut the bridge. Then he met Bharadvaj Rishi and accepted his blessings. And Bharadvaj Rishi said, okay, he made the whole road to Ayodhya filled with millions of trees of fruits and flowers and fragrance. So all the monkeys, when they are on their way, they can enjoy. Monkeys like fruits, right? So about 15, 20 kilometers of roads were filled with heavenly fruits, fragrant flowers, to refresh them from this war. And as the news reached Ayodhya, then everyone from Ayodhya ran towards Nandigram. They ran because they didn't want to wait for him, for the Lord to meet him at Ayodhya. They want to meet him at the first place he's going to end. He's going to come to Nandigram first, right? So everyone just ran from there and they're waiting in anticipation for the Lord, right? Eagerness. Right? That eagerness to see the Lord, right? How much Radhanath Maharaj and the Acharyas, they glorify this quality in us, which we have to develop, right? That eagerness to hear, eagerness to see the Lord, right? Vishwaran, remember in the older times, in the Mangala Aartis at Krishnamadram Mandir at 4:30, and you start from Focal Ashram, and you are just, in the running before the shank blows and before the Lord gives darshan, you have to run from Focal Ashram at top speed, right? So that was the thing, and when you come at the temple also, you don't want to miss anything here, and that eagerness, utkantha, right, to see the Lord, to hear the Lord. Is such a beautiful quality, and Krishna responds to that. Krishna is waiting to see that eagerness, that he is very eager to see us also. He is waiting like Panduranga, waiting for us, where is my children going to come back to me? He is eager like anything to see all of us back in his fold of his love. And he would like to see us also similarly eager to see him. And that's bond of love, the parental child, right? Eagerness. So he was rushing towards Ayodhya, towards Nandigram, and then Hanuman is there, and Bharat is getting very worried, He's coming? You're sure he's coming? He's asking so many times question. When is he coming? You said he's going to come. Bharat cannot just wait to see his brother. Cannot just wait to see his brother. His eyes are thirsty. Eyes are, that sight of his beautiful brother and his mother like Sita, his bhabhi. Oh, he just cannot wait to see that. And then far in the horizon, Hanuman says, see there, you can see there in the horizon. You see a speck, a small speck arising from the horizon. And within no time, it just becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. Right? And then when they all go together, this procession goes together to Ayodhya. And those people have stayed back in Ayodhya, they are all ready with all these lamps. Festoons, banana leaves, putting fragrance on all the roads through elephants, and everything is spick and span, clean, fragrant, full of lights. Why? Welcome. The whole world, the whole spirit is welcome home. Right? Ayodhya is Ram's eternal home. Right? And for some reasons, beyond the control, the Lord had left his home. And now he's back home. When we install deities in the house, we say sometimes, we welcoming the deities home. Welcome, right? So, it is very, very similar to welcoming the Lord in our own hearts. As a physical act of getting the Lord in the Shri Vigraha form in your homes or installed in the temple where they can see Him, worship Him, serve Him, pray for Him, dance for Him, make garlands for Him. The next level which we want to reach through all these activities of Navavidha Bhakti is to, for that one sacred day when you can welcome the Lord in our hearts. Right? That is the meditation of Diwali. When will my heart It is called as Hridayakandare. Hridayakandare means it's a dark cave. Hridayakandare. Kandare means a cave, right? Our hearts are compared right now to a dark cave. Why is the heart a dark cave? Now, caves don't have lights, right? Caves are naturally dark places. Heart is compared to a dark cave. The Lord is there in the heart, but He has chosen not to manifest His presence. Naham prakasha sarvasva. The Lord has His own prerogative that He doesn't have to manifest just because He is there. And even if He is in front of you, you will not know that He is the Lord. Like Duryodhan saw the Lord, but he did not understand He is the Lord. So seeing the Lord is not important. Realizing the Lord is more important than seeing the Lord. So, the whole process of creation is to somehow illuminate the heart of the conditioned soul. The moment the conditioned soul leaves, what is the direct difference between the spiritual world and the material world? The most obvious difference is that is the world of complete illumination and this is a world of darkness. That is the most obvious and distinct difference between these two worlds. And the Lord, being the source of the Brahma Jyoti, illuminates everything in the spiritual world. Krishna is, as he said here, is the original Purusha. There are so many Purushas. There are billions upon quadrillions upon zillions of Purushas who are all lords. They are all Godheads. They are all personalities of Godhead. Billions of them. Right? However, Krishna is that special personality who is the original personality of Godhead. The original lamp from whom all other lamps are being lit. And He is the primeval source which illuminates all these billions of Vaikuntha planets which are there in the spiritual sky. And because this place is by definition and by design a dark place, you will never find a beautifully illuminated jail. It is not possible. A jail, by definition, is a small place with restricted movements and it's dark. These are the three principal features of a jail. This is a small universe, restricted because the spirit soul loses freedom because of heavy control of the stringent laws of material nature. Everything he will do and speak, he will be accountable for. The imperishable, indefatigable, powerful laws of nature determine his life. Right? And it's dark. Therefore, the Lord has to send two lamps, huge lamps in this world. In the daytime, He sends the sun. In the nighttime, He sends the moon. These are Krishna's, one is a halogen lamp, other is a night lamp. Imagine a halogen lamp. What is our halogen lamp's capacity? So many watts, 1000 watts, 2000 watts, 5000 watts, whatever. But when Krishna manifests as the sun, it illuminates not the earth, not the solar system. The one sun illuminates the entire universe. What is Krishna's power? And this is not even Krishna. This is not even Krishna. This is His material energy doing it. The sun essentially is a concentrating agent of the Brahma Jyoti. Just like when you were children, we used to have this small convex lenses which we used to use. The sun would shine and then you would focus that on something and the paper would burn. Right? Remember doing that in your childhood? I used to do that when as a child. You just take that and you just put it on the shirt and the shirt will burn and paper will burn, right? Because it focuses sunlight and puts it in a particular place and paper starts burning. The sun is nothing but a convex lens of the Lord, which gathers light from the Brahma Jyoti and then again focuses on the universe. What is interesting to see is that because the Lord wants to illuminate the universe, He Himself is born in those dynasties. Therefore, the two important lords, Krishna and Rama, right, who are the most important illuminating agents of this world, one is born in a Surya Vamsha, Surya Vamshi, Sri Ramachandra, and Krishna is in the Soma dynasty, dynasty of the moon, right? Because these two are the most powerful of all the lords who govern material civilization. And any civilization in the world which gathers information, knowledge, and takes an example from the teachings of Lord Ramachandra's behavior and teachings of Lord Krishna's Gita, when any civilization gets based on these two things, the entire life, the entire community, the entire country, the entire nation, the entire world gets illuminated because they are the path, they are illuminating agents, sun and the moon, right? And when we reject the sun and the moon, that means we reject Ram and reject Krishna, right? Then no matter what you do in this world, it will be a world of darkness. Darkness means unlimited fear and suffering. And that's what is we see in the world. So much of ignorance. Therefore, the Vedas enjoin tamasoma jyotirgamaya. Today is Diwali. We want to meditate on these beautiful, simple aphorisms of the Vedic literature. Tamasoma jyotirgamaya. Mrutyoma amritgamaya. Asatoma satgamaya. Right? Powerful. Such simple 3-4 words in every aphorism, but they are guiding lights to our life. We want to give up this world of darkness and move towards the light of the eternal sky. And Diwali is a day when we want to really dedicate our life towards the path which has been illuminated. The Acharyas, and beginning from Sri Krishna, as I said, this sampradaya, these two Surya and Soma is there. Krishna creates sampradayas, which are basically like huge cables of transcendental knowledge, and they keep on illuminating the world. It is very interesting to remember today that one of the first books Srila Prabhupada wrote, he wrote the first book was 1956, was at the time the moon expedition was very much part of the, you know, gossip of the world. And he wrote the book called as Easy Journey of the Planets. However, the lesser known book, which is extremely important for us to remember in Prabhupada's appearance, 21st appearance days, the second book which he wrote in 1961, when he got an invitation from Japan for a world conference on cultivating of the human spirit, one Mr. Nakano offered him to come there, and he sponsored his stay there for as long as he wanted in Japan, and he sponsored his registration and said, Swami, you have to just have to take care of your back and forth ticket. And Srila Prabhupada was overjoyed, even though his heart was looking towards going to US, because that was a superpower at the time and dominating the world culture. The Western influence was extremely strong, strong today as well. But he said, if Krishna wants me to go to Japan, it's perfectly alright with me, I'll go to Japan and conquer the world from there. He was willing to go to anywhere where the Krishna wanted. He didn't care whatever it was. And he required an amount of, at that time, 3,500 rupees, which of course today is 33.5 lakhs, probably. More than a lakh. Okay, more than a lakh. So it's not a very small amount. And he wrote to Brijratan Mohata, and he approached the vice president of the country, Dr. Radhakrishna, at that time. He approached the Scientific Society for Cultural Affairs, the government of India, and he wrote to as many people as possible. He said, I'm a Swami, I don't have a purse. I don't have a purse. I don't have any money. But we are all here. The government of India must sponsor this. You know, we can go and really project this to the world. Prabhupada was desperate to go. It was already January, and then the conference was on May 10th to 20th, 1961. Right? I'm trying for 3-4 months desperately, anywhere and everywhere, begging, 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 pleading, appealing. Unfortunate that Prabhupada was in that way in one sense. Of course, Krishna had his master plan to send him where he wanted to, but on the external level, Prabhupada did not get that required amount. His plan was a beautiful book which he wrote, The Light of the Bhagavat. On Deepavali day, we want to remember this beautiful book Prabhupada wrote. He was, the expertise of Prabhupada is seen in this book. It's a very unique book. And most of us have not read it, unfortunately. Therefore, I'm talking to talk about it a little bit in a few minutes. It is taken from the 20th chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes the autumn season in Vrindavan. We are in the autumn season right now. Autumn season began in 21st of September and ends somewhere in 15th of December or so. The autumn season is described in 50 shlokas, and each of them is describing a phenomena in nature. There's like the clouds are covered and the leaves are falling, or it is raining. So there are different phenomena of nature described, and each phenomena is described, of course, by the lips of Sukadeva Goswami, who is a nature lover, is Krishna lover. And Prabhupada connects each of these analogies to philosophy. He makes each phenomena of nature connect to a philosophical doctrine of false god man, rise of materialism, atheism, impersonalism, all doctrines which are there within our line of Vaishnavism. He connects to each and every phenomena in nature. What an expert person he must have been, Prabhupada, to connect something so abstract, something just so, you know, natural phenomena to the you know, phenomena of philosophy, right? That is expertise. Because this thing is, in whatever time they give me, I cannot speak the whole Bhagavatam to them. I would love to do that. But in 50 shloka, and one step ahead, Prabhupada went and said that we will have in the conference a display, make a painting of each phenomena of nature, and along with that we'll be depicting the analogy, the philosophical doctrine attached to each. So there was 50 paintings to be made and 50 of his purports to each of these paintings. And then and Mr. Nakano was like overjoyed. Here is such a special person. He said, I will be at the airport to receive you. And you please write to the governors of Japan, and you can stay here and speak whatever you want to speak for 1 month. Prabhupada was overjoyed. But his visit to Japan remained a dream. And then it was left to the BBT thereafter, after Prabhupada's departure, to really take this job, take this further, because it was like an incomplete dream of Prabhupada, that book, Light of the Bhagavat. And one very beautiful artist from Japan, Lee Yun Sheng, she actually put this 50 paintings together. And Prabhupada wanted this to make it into a book. And the book is there, The Light of the Bhagavat. Interesting thing is to see is that the Bhagavatam is compared to light. Bhagavatam is the light of Kali Yuga. Right? More than any of the scripture, which are many in number, all coming from the beautiful pen of Maharshi Vyas. But nothing can overpower the overwhelming importance of the Bhagavat. Right? Now, we are talking about a jail which is dark. And it is, when it is Kali Yuga in the jail, it is so dark, So we are, you know, as it is in Treta, Dwapar, things get darker and darker and darker, right? Because Adharma starts, more and more Adharma starts, and you have Kali Yuga coming in, then there is complete darkness. So you cannot even see your hand in front of your eyes. Where is my hand? It's so dark, right? But the Lord cannot allow His children. The forces of time are cannot be stopped. Kalosmi. The forces of time have to go on. Shatra has to come followed by Teta, and Teta has to come by Dwapar, and Dwapar has to come by Teta. That is inexorable. It is unpreventable. It is a set system of nature under the guidance of the Lord that goes on without any interruption. But on the other hand, the Lord does His share. He cannot allow His children to suffer and cry in pain. Right? And therefore, He manifests Himself after He Himself leaves after 125 years of presence on the earth as Krishna. He doesn't leave the world in darkness. He creates a situation for the rising of the next sun. And that sun is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? Arunoditaha. Aruna Oditaha. However, the power of Kali Yuga is so immense that even the Bhagavatam can actually become covered. That's the problem. It's a problem. The Bhagavatam can get eclipsed. The Lord is desperately trying to get all of us back to Godhead. So this time He does something which He has never done before. And what is that? He comes in a very special form. He comes as twin form. What is that sloka? Chidrasansa Munado. Gornita is coming in. Chitra Sandha Tamonada. What is the first line? I'm forgetting the first line. Anyone remembers? Chitra Sandha Tamonada. The Lord coming as Gornitai. I'm forgetting. Anyway, and this is from Shiva Bhagavat, Chaitanya Bhagavat. So, maybe I'll remember a little later. But again, Vande Sri Krishna. Correct. You just got it. Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gaurudaye Pushpavanto Chitra Sando Tamonado. Wow! Wow! When Radha Maharaj says, and I chant this verse, His heart erupts into ecstasy. This is such a special sloka for all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Worshipable. Supremely worshipable sloka. Hope-giving. For the crying Kali Yuga mortals. One day, let us offer our obeisances. Prostrated obeisances. One day, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Saha Uditaha. One sun is not enough. Now the sun and the moon have arisen, the eastern horizon together. Saha Udita. Gaurodai. Gauda. Gauda Desha. Bengal. Chitra Sandho Tamonato. To destroy the darkness of Kali Yuga. And because He has not come as God, both of them have not come as God, they have come to actually live a life of a person who is truly absorbed in Srimad Bhagavat. Because in Kali Yuga, people are so manda buddhi, if they read something, they won't understand. They won't understand if they read it also. Saman buddhi. Right? Tapan Mishra read all the scriptures. He couldn't understand. He's telling the Lord went to Bangladesh. He said, what is the goal of life? How do you achieve it?
You have to understand in all the scriptures. Right? So the Lord has to come as a person who actually lives the life, who is the Bhagavat in embodiment form. That is Mahaprabhu Chaitanya. Embodiment of Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? And therefore, these two are the most important illuminating agents for the darkest period of Kali Yuga, where that illumination will be available to mortals like ourselves for at least a period of 10,000 years. And again, when the impact of the Lord vanishes, the inexorable effect of time factor again, which overpowers everything uncontrollably, it will be dense darkness, which cannot be remedied by anything in the world. There will be only suffering and more suffering and more suffering. Therefore, it's interesting to remember that Prabhupada named the temple of Mayapur as Mayapur Chandra Udaye Mandir. Chandra Udaye Mandir. Right? Because the Lord, as I said, wants to illuminate our heart. The followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Acharyas, after Mahaprabhu, the Sri Goswamis, and thereafter Chakravarti Pad and others, in modern times, Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, our beloved Srila Prabhupada, they carry that light in their heart. That light which we are talking about today, where is that light available? That light is forever illuminating the heart of the Acharya. Acharya is a Nirvasiddha Bhakta who is never conditioned by the material energy at all. He comes with that flame of devotion in his heart. He is born with that. He is the living torchlight of that knowledge. He is born to give, like a torchlight gives knowledge and light to the dark world. He's the torchlight himself. Right? Like in an Olympic match, the torchlight goes in front and then all the players are behind. So the Acharya moves in front with the torchlight and the whole civilization moves behind him. That's why it's called torchlight. It's not called light, it's called a torchlight. And the beautiful line here, I want to read this, it's from the previous verse, 22nd verse. How we want to invite that lamp of light into our hearts. Jnana Dipena Bhasvataha. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Right? 10th chapter. Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita. Right? That the heart is Hridaya Kandare. It is a dark place. It is going to remain dark. If the Ahankar is the king of our heart. In the heart there is a throne. In the heart there is a throne. Right? If the heart, the throne of the heart is the person sitting on the throne is Ahankar, then Ahankar, because he is born, Ahankar is born out of ignorance, the heart can never get illuminated, no matter what you do. No matter what information technology you get into in your consciousness, the heart remains dark forever. No information illuminates the heart. Absolutely nothing. Right? Only when you deinstall Ahankar and reinstall Nabhaje Ridoyo Raje. Bhagavan is saying, na bhaje hridaya raje. The king of the heart, the king of never sits on the floor. The king always sits on a throne. Right? So when you install the Lord in the heart, like Gundisha Marjanam shows how we have to install hridaya raje, Krishna, in our heart, then the heart becomes illuminated. But what is the impetus for the Ahankar to get diffused off and Krishna to manifest? That is in this line. The spiritual master. Now this is such a special line which Prabhupada has written from his very heart. Right? The spiritual master can penetrate the heart. Did you ever think of this phenomenon? Like you have injection, the syringe can penetrate the vein. Or a biopsy needle can penetrate the bone, right? Or something can penetrate, the machine can penetrate the hard, you know, this road breaking machines. And that deepness is the devotee who is an acharya, whom the Lord has sent. Now the Lord's goal is very clear. That light of His knowledge has to reach our heart. So His agent is His beloved chosen spiritual master, who is not different from Him. Sakshat dharipena samasta shastra. Not different from Him. He does what He wants. And not what He wants. Right? So He says here that the spiritual master, by His words, can penetrate into the heart. Right? Into the heart of the suffering person and injects, like a nurse injects antibiotic, right? The guru injects. What is that? Divya Gyan Ride Prakashito. Right? So he injects transcendental knowledge. The primary function of the spiritual master is this and this alone. To inject in the heart of the conditioned soul transcendental knowledge. Away is the heart, which is dense darkness like the jail, in which the soul is imprisoned since time immemorial, can start understanding with that illumination. What is this? What does he understand? Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. He understands that, yes. I am not the Purusha. I am Prakriti. The Lord is the Adi Purusha. And unto you, Bhajami. Therefore, we'll end with this meditation today. For us as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we are all offering the ghee lamp. All of us, 1 hour back, we did that very sacred act of offering the ghee lamp. What is the ghee lamp all about? This comes from the heart of Radhanath Swami. Many years back, he explained this as a beautiful meditation. Very beautiful meditation. And we are offering lamps all our lives. Pujaris do aarti. We are doing aartis in our own homes. And offering aarti, the word aarti is important because we are all artha, suffering. So if you want to be free from artha, you have to perform aarti. So artha and aarti are very similar words. But the whole phenomenon of this ghee lamp offering is explained by Radhanath Swami. He said there are four parts of the ghee lamp. We're going to do an article now. There's a flame, there's a wick, there's a ghee, and there's a lamp. There's the clay pot. Right? So Maharaj says there are four different things and connects it to our life. So this is when pure devotees, they don't do any act mechanically, like the way sometimes we may do. For them, everything is in what we call in modern corporate language as mindfulness. They're always extremely mindful of what they're doing. And because they're mindful, fully always mindful, they don't do anything just Namamishwara Amsachita Aranavikra. They don't do like that. Right. Hare Krishna. He said the flame represents our desire to love the Lord. It is a desire to express longing. What is called sometimes as longing or lauliyam. The Ayodhyavasis are longing for Ram. Bharat is longing for Sita and Ram. Shatrughna is longing for the Lord. Kausalya is longing for the Lord to come. Right? So we have to long for the Lord. Because we've been away from Him for a long time. We've been away from Him for a long time. We have to long for Him now. Right? And that is represented by the flame. The flame is our expression of our longing to love and to serve. The wick, the ghee wick, which is there, is the spiritual practices we perform to create that longing. Like we get up in the morning, we chant our rounds, we follow Ekadashi Vrata, we follow four regular principles, we do our sadhana properly, we read the scriptures, we serve the devotees, we do so many things, all the spiritual practices, there are 64 items of bhakti which are given by Rupa Goswami. All that is called as the wick of the lamp. Fine? What is the ghee? The ghee is the perfect attitude we need to have to actually support those activities. Because you can perform activities if the attitude is not proper. That means we have attitude of being a servant, attitude of actually being determined, attitude of being very eager, attitude of being tolerant and forgiving. Right? So when you practice these attitudes, that is very supportive for the ongoing support of those practices to increase the flame. And then last is of course the lamp itself. That is our lifestyle. The lifestyle which we all live in order to support these activities properly. As a grihastha or as a brahmachari, whatever we do is called as dincharya, right? Our lifestyle. That lifestyle itself is contained. It contains these activities. Right? So if we keep these, if our lifestyle is proper, if we constantly put on ghee, the lamp can go on non-stop. It's come to Akhanda Jyot, and just like at Mahaprabhu's birthplace, at Gambira there is a flame flowing, burning for the last 500 plus years. Akhanda Jyot, keep on supplying the ghee with the right attitude, the submissive attitude of being a servant, and then that when Krishna sees that longing, that when he sees that longing, he reciprocates. And then, as Yashoda is longing to tie her son, Krishna submits himself. When he sees that longing, he cannot hold himself back. If you are expressing longing, Krishna cannot hold himself back. If you are asking, you are pulling the Lord with your longing of the flame, then Krishna cannot just hold himself back. He is drawn. He is drawn. Shrutadeva Bahulasava drew the Lord from Dwarka, 1,043 kilometers away from Dwarka to Mithila. They drew him because they were longing for the Lord. The Lord came from Dwarka with entourage there. So the Lord enters, comes. Right? And when he comes, then what happens? Just like there's a binding. Damodar means getting bound. Then we get bound to the Lord in an inseparable bond of love. Right? And no power in the creation can break that bond. That is an unbreakable rope. That rope between Yashoda and Krishna cannot be broken by any force of the material world. So when the bond of love develops between Krishna and the Jivatma, the bond of love, nothing in creation can destroy that rope. And we are hoping in come Diwali day to live a lifestyle in accordance with the teachings of his beloved Srila Prabhupada, where we can keep moving towards the eternal light of Vaikuntha. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.